Hey, I'm Savin Gavia, and you are now listening to Can a Player Play live every Sunday at 2:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Make sure you check out these good fellas at www.facebook.com/playerology. And also, make sure to get your copy of the new book entitled Who Is She and What Is She to You on Amazon or worldmovement.com. Can a Player Play? Oh, pretty Tony. Put in a...
I'm on it as you squeeze me like you need me. It's literally just a seat because you got my knees weak. I'm ready for whatever, baby, don't tease me. I need it like a gift today, continue as you please me. I'm here to testify you all that I got. Let's make it happen while I wait now, leaving them now. I'm ready.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Can a Player Play? Rolling live every Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Your boy, Pretty Tony, here. Along with the man of the hour, the main man, hold on, let me get his long title correct, Dr. K. Diddy, Esquire, the Elixir of Love. Dr. K. Diddy, are you with us, sir?
Yeah, man, but I want some pretty woman saying, Pretty Tony.
It's just never enough. It's just never enough.
I want some sweet lady saying Pretty Tony, but not saying Pretty Tony. You know what I'm saying? I want to say K. Dizzle, the Lexus Liz.
We're going to make that happen for you. We're going to make that happen for you, sir. Welcome, everybody, to the show. As we always get the show going, I want to make sure we get the sponsors of the show, because if they don't cut the check, the show don't happen. www.worldmovementrecords.ning.com, www.worldmovement.com. Check them out. Got a new artist out on the road right now, young man by the name of Mr. Drew Raber, tearing up the town right now.
Doing big things out there.
You know, so make sure you support the movement as always. And, of course, you know, the books are out there. Play a Step Your Game Up, Playology, Who Is She and What Is She to You. Available at all retail outlets. If you want them personally autographed, you can always just purchase them off the World Movement website. Every book purchased off the World Movement website is personally signed by me and sent out. Make sure you get your copy. Wow. What can we say? Another week in the hole, another day. We're still blessed to be here. We're still in the struggle together, all of us, you know. Trying to hang on, trying to make it through. This week's show, The Politics of Fear and Ignorance. And man, oh man, oh man. Some of y'all thought it was over with Obama getting reelected, didn't you? Some of you thought, yeah, well, now we can get over and get back to work and maybe we can get some things back on track, get some dollars in our pocket. Because at the end of the day, that's what it boils down individually to each and every one of us. Even the ones out there hollering patriotism and this and that, if you don't have the dollars to pay for a meal to give you the strength to go to the next patriotic rally, you ain't going to be doing what you need to do. The bottom line is it comes down to dollars and cents. But
what you trying to say, man? If you ain't got no dollars, you ain't got no cents. I just want to be clear on that one, because it seems like America kind of think like that, because when they ain't got no dollars, they act like they ain't got no sense.
And it's the truth. You can't have no damn sense if you ain't got no dollars. Because if you ain't got no sense, you need to be on medication. And what does medication cost?
That's a vicious circle, though, man, because there's a lot of people out there that are not even trying to get no sense to get no dollars. So you get around that one. Tell me how to fix that one.
There you go. The politics of fear and ignorance. As always, I like to throw the Twitter page out there. You can, you know, keep the conversation going. You can holler at me on Twitter right now, tomorrow, whenever you feel like it. Participate in the Mind of the Madness at Selassie Son, SelassieSon. I see a few of y'all been joining me, talking back to me on Twitter. I appreciate it. The Mind of the Madness. If we don't talk to each other, each one teach one. Because I damn sure don't know everything.
It took some of us longer than others to learn how to write, so please make sure you put us through our paces.
Ah, And, of course, you know, my illustrious colleague likes talking to some of y'all. Others he might take offense to because, you know, his patience is not exactly at a premium. You can holler at K. Diddy, too. Hit him up, ladies, you know. Say something sexy for him. Oh, K. Diddy at K. Diddy 1 on Twitter. Get at him. He loves talking to his fans and his haters.
Exactly. Because I'm still learning how to write, so I'm still practicing. So hit me
so,
up.
You know, we're talking about the politics of fear and ignorance. And last week, the Neighborhood Gentrification Committee, Mr. Joe from Montana, brought up a point about, you know, me talking about certain aspects of what brought me to this point. And instead of making a show of it, I'm going to make a show of it. Let that go around in your head for a moment. You'll catch on to what I'm saying. Each week I'm going to give you tidbits of knowledge that help mold me. I'm going to give you tidbits of knowledge that I want to share with you because a lot of times K. Diddy is author and Joe is the international man of mystery, but I'm a straight-up black man, very proudly so. Over the course of my life, as I was growing, a lot of knowledge that was necessary for me to help mold me was never brought to me, was hidden away and whitewashed, catch on to that too, away from me. But nonetheless, there are other people of other races who took time to teach me so much, and I opened myself up to knowledge, and one of the basis of why us brothers conduct ourselves in a certain manner is because we don't have understand the history that is behind us. We don't understand the sacrifices that have been made because all we've known is negativity. A few years ago in an interview I said, despite the circumstances of our life and negativity is all that we know, we cannot permit negativity to define us. That's one of the reasons this show was started by myself, a proud black man, and my other counterpart, K. Diddy, when he chooses to reveal who and what he is. And I don't know why he's faking the funk, because like he likes to say, just Google him, and it'll tell you who he is. But I'll let the mystery...
You talking about the Jewish me or the other me? I'm still trying to get past this black man mystique, because... You know, I'm confused because they first told me black was a color, and then they said it was a people. But then I know white people are Caucasians, so I know white is a color. So I'm still kind of confused about that because, see, I ain't never been to Africa. My mama ain't never been to Africa. Her mama ain't never been to Africa. So I'm just trying to figure out where the African shit come in. So, but if anybody want to call in and share that with us, you know the number.
You know, and even though there is some truth in K. Diddy's obvious shot across the bow, because I'm going to take his comment very personally, because I understand that his mother's mother ain't never been to Africa. His family, as far back as he can trace it, is wholly and solely of the American genre. Nonetheless, my dear brother, my esteemed colleague, your ancestry must come in place for somewhere along the dark continent, as they call it, or you have issue with that too.
I don't know. Where's Israel? I'm just asking.
Okay, and I'm going to give you, speaking of Israel, before we go any further, ladies and gentlemen, I think it was this old actress named Mae West had a quote that she said, and if she didn't, I'm giving it to her because I like Mae West. She said, there is no such thing as a good war or a bad peace. Ladies and gentlemen, people are dying as we speak because of rockets and missiles being rained down upon them, and each side is crying foul. I sympathize with the people of Palestine. I truly do. But nonetheless, the state of Israel, the country of Israel, is not going anywhere. You can huff and puff all you want. They are there, and they are going to be there. I think it's time for us to grow up, and it is us. their world to grow a little bit. Innocent people are dying, both on the Palestinian side of the fence and on the Israeli side of the fence, over nonsense, over some border or claim that ain't never going to change nothing, because what are you going to do? That's one of the ludicrous things I want to discuss on today's show, the politics of fear and ignorance, because it's not just an American problem. It's a global problem. Let's say hypothetically, since K. Diddy is speaking of his Jewish ancestry, let's say for a moment the Israelis, the Jews say, we're going to leave. Where are a couple million people going to relocate to? Where in the world right now could it absorb that entire nation of Israel?
I don't know. Where do the Mexicans go? Can they go to Mexico? Can the Chinese go to China? I mean, can't the Europeans go to Europe? I mean, I don't know. I'm still asking
questions.
That's the question.
And the Palestinians have a right to claim their land. But what we need is common sense and common ground, which is not at a premium right now. And hold on, I think the Neighborhood Gentrification Committee just joined us.
Rent just went down.
How you doing, Tony?
How are you, sir?
How are you? Screw you, Diddy. How's that?
Hey, well, see, when you quiet, I get more emails.
You know what I did that for? You know why? Because last week you said you were going to slap me, and I didn't know if you said that or not. So I actually listened to the archive, and you did say that to me. So I said, what did I do? I didn't do shit.
Well, that's the problem.
I got to do shit. Oh, all right.
Well, if you don't do stuff, people have to create shit for you.
I know. So I thought I'd create it now.
There you go. And wow, I love when y'all lead me right into the things that I want to talk about. But we're going to go back to, welcome to the show, by the way, Joe. You know.
Yeah, hey, Tony. Hey, Diddy.
I'm on my little rant about Israel and the Palestinians right now, raining down rockets on each other.
How's my static? Is my static okay, or do I have to go and fix it?
Sound like there's a hum.
All right. I mean, is it okay, or should I try to fix it? Because it takes a little while.
Go ahead.
All right, I'll fix it. I'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes then.
All right.
Don't hang up on me, all right?
No.
Okay, I'll be right back.
We have Israelis and Palestinians raining down bombs on each other. Everybody crying foul. It is true that Israel has put a stranglehold on the Gaza Strip, and the only thing that prospers over there is a black market. But at the same time, how dare us say, well, oh man, the Israelis are massacring Palestinians again, when Hamas fired the first set of rockets. That's like telling me somebody gonna come in my house, whoop my ass, and I'm just supposed to wipe the blood and say, have a good day. There is no such thing as a good war or a bad peace. Common sense needs to prevail. The politics of fear and ignorance, you're seeing the end result over there in that conflict. Now I'm going to shine the spotlight over here. As K. Diddy and Joe from Montana were alluding to a minute ago, sometimes if you don't trump something up, we ain't got nothing to talk shit about. And they are trumping up a whole lot of crap. First of all, we're going to start off with Obama won the election because he gave out gifts. Well, I ain't got my condoms yet. I sure enough ain't got my Obama phone. What else they say he gave away? What was Mitt Romney's claim? He lost because Obama was giving gifts away. And I'm pissed off. Because I ain't got my food stamps. I don't have my Obama phone. I don't have my condoms because you said contraception was a part of it.
Is this better, fella?
Yeah, you're clear. Okay. And I still have never received my 40 acres on my mule. I still ain't got my Liberian citizenship yet. And for all of y'all's good folks who are wondering what the hell I'm talking about, go and look up the history of Liberia and you will understand my sarcasm. I ain't got my Liberian citizenship yet. I have not gotten my condoms, my Obama phone, or anything else that I was promised as a gift. I need all that. I'm a hustler. So since those are the things that were supposedly given away or proposed to be given away, I need mine, since it was aimed at me. Now, like I said, Joe is the international man of mystery, and K. Diddy is the other. I, on the other hand, am a proud black man, Negro, whatever you want to call me. I readily stand up to that title, because a lot of people have shed a lot of tears and lost their life over the years for me to have this moment for a couple thousand y'all to be hearing my voice. There was a time I would have got my ass beat for saying the things that I say. There was a time I would have been lynched for saying the things that I say. Trust and believe. So the politics of fear and ignorance are in full bloom. And the first thing I want to address is all you people out there signing petitions. I'm not going to call you idiots. I like to be politically correct.
That's my job.
I think you're still in that time of lynching. You're just in a different neighborhood.
There you go. There may be some truth to that. All you people out there signing petitions to secede from the state, here is something for you. You have a better chance of seeing friggin' Bigfoot in the woods before a state will be able to pull out of this union. You stand a better chance of spotting a UFO aircraft hovering above your house and aliens beaming Scotty down to you before a state will be allowed to secede from the Union. So you good old folks up there in Texas, the 60,000 of y'all that have signed the petition or whatever, y'all need your rebels without a cause. It ain't gonna happen, never will happen, and every time a couple of y'all get your panties, knickers, and straps up in a twist, you want to secede from the Union. Then you have the capital of the state saying, if Texas secedes from the Union, Austin is going to secede from the state, which basically is buffoonery and fuckery, because it ain't never going to happen. Never, ever, ever.
I don't say never, Tony.
Huh.
I don't say never. Here's the reason why. I think they're fools, not because their intention, well, most of them are their intention. They don't even know what they're signing, most of them, so I call them fools. To succeed from the Union, I agree with you, is going to be an exercise in futility. The idea, though, of trying to get back their particular state sovereignty in order to succeed from the federal government's power, I give them kudos for. But here's why I say, you know, it could happen. Why? It happened to the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union was one huge block. What happens? They have about, they got the Ukraine, Uzbekistan, or whatever that country is, and a couple of other Russian states, which have now become independent of the USSR. From what I've read, now who knows if this is true, one of the aims of the globalists is to divide up the country. Remember, separation nation, your term.
Absolutely.
And if they want to, hey, they can pay a few thousand mutts to go sign petitions, and who knows how far it can be taken. If it does divide up the nation, it's going to be a lot easier to conquer economically and certainly logistically. So I can't say never.
Okay, and there goes Joe presenting that point of view. Now I'm going to present my counterpoint. If you notice, the example that he used was the USSR. Which most people who signed that those kind of petitions would be insulted because Joe was comparing them to them goddamn commie bastards reds over there. I ain't no damn commie.
Yeah, they would
now,
be. Mm-hmm.
As I was watching this Nation of Separation, I'm glad Joe brought it up, and the politics of fear and ignorance and their riling of people for no obvious damn reason. If, say, Texas was to secede from the state, right, from the federal government as they would like, would that then mean we put up a border and issue their asses visas to come do business over here?
You've got a great, great point. Something people don't think about.
Thank you. So are you going to be willing, since you want to pull away from the Federal Union, since you want to break off from the United States of America, IA, are you folks willing to accept borders being put around and you get issued visas, and now you suddenly are the immigrants which you fear so much?
There you go.
Huh? What's the wonderful secession people signing up by the thousands? And then are you going to, let's talk, since you want to pull away, are you going to be willing to give up the millions and billions that you do get from the federal government? Or you just want to pull away and take the money and still have the benefits, but oh no, yeah, we are the United Republic of Texas, Louisiana, Florida, whatever the hell you want your state to be called. Are you then willing to be put, we put a damn consulate office in, over there in your ass, put a border up, and be like, you got to get a visa to bring your ass over here to neighboring states? Well, you know, we're just talking. We're talking about politics of fear and ignorance.
Yeah, but the point you make is a valid one, because that's the kind of point I made a couple of days ago, and I was talking about the succession movement so fast, all of a sudden rapidly growing, and look at all the goddamn publicity it's getting. Somebody's trying to push this agenda. But then
absolutely
again,
somebody's
yeah.
trying to push this damn agenda. You're and damn then, stupid there, Billy Joe.
Huh?
Go ahead, Joe.
All right. Yeah, so you're talking about the visa from going from Texas to its neighboring state. How about airspace? How about air travel? Do you think the guys in Texas, now again, I have to applaud anybody who's independent thinking, but we have to be practical.
Thank
you know
you
the federal, much. Before when there was a Civil War, there was the Mason-Dixon line, and all the states on the north and all the states in the south were all nice and neatly contiguous. They were all adjoining one another. They could all freely go from one state of the Confederacy to the other state of the Confederacy. And everybody in the North could freely go from the one state of the North to the other state of the North. But if you got one state in a succession like Texas and the other states haven't joined you yet, you are the immigrant. What are you going to do?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And as we're talking about immigrants, and we're going to, matter of fact, let's stick to that because, you know, I'm kind of play. We bounce all over the place, but we're just trying to talk about things in a certain time frame, you know. And for all you people out there who, and I for one believe that there are people with agendas out there. There are people out there in the shadows that have been there for decades, maybe even hundreds of years, profiteering off the have-nots. The middle class and everything on both sides of the fence. They have been given various names. For you idiots, like the sheriff and the mayor of one town up there in the great state of Texas once again, talking about Obama getting ready to give America over to the UN, you might want to re-examine that because I guess you haven't taken notice lately. The UN itself is in total friggin' chaos. Most countries that make up the power arm, the power base of the UN, have total anarchy, are on the borderline of anarchy in their own country. And somebody's got static going on. I'm going to say it's Kay Gibson.
No.
I'm not playing.
Oh, it's not me? Okay.
You know, you have got to learn to understand that, like Joe said, I respect free-minded, independent thinking people. But there, unfortunately, there are not enough of us. There are not enough of us. Because a lot of times, people just say things to say things. Seriously. If you're going to be about it, we've got to really and truly be about it to implement the change that we need to see. Dizzle, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Joe, are you there?
Here I am.
Wonderful. That means we have a crystal clear transmission going on. And
yeah,
that's what we're talking about.
Couple minutes anyway.
Yes, because, you know, Blog Talk ain't exactly known for their audio quality. And I want to send big shout-outs to the Republican National Committee, who this week finally came out and presented a realistic assessment of why Mr. Romney lost the election. Changing demographics, Bush policies, and a middle-class disconnect. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot have people like Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann as the face of your party. And I'm not being sexist in no way, shape, or form when I say this, because I respect people like Condoleezza Rice, Suzanne Rice. I respect Hillary Clinton and a whole host of other politicians. I respect them individually based on the things they've done in their life. I may not always agree with their political capital that they spend, but I respect them for the strides they've taken in their life.
Tony, do you think that these women that you mentioned, if I ran for office and I was successful, do you think they'd object if I had a number waiting, 1-800-BLOW-ME? you think they'd object to that?
Actually, they probably would, because they couldn't handle it like Hillary.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to know what kind of pipe she takes. It's probably a strap-on.
You know, Hillary, it's questionable. Their relationship has its variants, but K. Diddy always presents this point. What you ought to say, K. Diddy, might seem one way to me and you, but it's normal to those people, right, who are engaged in it.
What's dysfunctional to one is normal to another.
True enough. Mm-hmm.
You know, Michelle Bachmann is crazy. Sarah Palin, if you people don't see Sarah Palin for her capitalistic, self-promoting self, I don't know what is wrong with you people. You know, you put Sarah Palin up with John McCain pulled out of the woods of Alaska and about a maverick.
Ain't that the chick that come from the Aurora Borealis?
Yeah, way up there.
That what the hell you expect? From? What does anybody expect? You make babies. You practice making
from her backyard.
You practice making babies 6 months out of the year. The other 6 months, you might get some sunshine. So what the hell do you expect, really?
I'm sure there's some kind of psychological effect.
Yeah, but don't forget, her first speech was actually a very good one. Their ratings and their popularity for both McCain and Palin as a result of her went up. It was, you know, but it wasn't until she got... What, Tony?
And I said they better thank the wonderful speechwriter who wrote it for her.
That's true. It wasn't until she got derailed by Katie Couric and Gibbs when she couldn't answer foreign policy questions that people looked at her like, oh, what a freaking dummy.
And now suddenly this person's world is held in high esteem. And we're going to move on from the ladies for a moment, and we're going to roll on into the other aspect of this show as time is crunching on, about the politics of fear and ignorance. As I've seen her on Fox, and I've heard a lot of all these other people, and coming back to what I was talking about with Joe and Diddy, Senator John McCain and his fake anger about Benghazi, and all these wonderful folks who are beating drums and beating drums and beating drums and beating drums.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Tony.
Benghazi was a tragedy. There were mistakes made that should not have been made. Okay? Somebody lost their father, somebody lost their brother, somebody lost their son, all of that. Somebody lost their brother. It was tragic. It truly was. But this,
do you notice, though, that we're not in a war? Traditionally, don't nations go to war when their ambassadors get assassinated?
Huh.
We're not in a war. So it shows me that wars can be avoided.
And we're going to touch on that a little bit more as they're beating the drums.
Mm-hmm.
As they're beating the drums and beating the drums. What happened in Benghazi should not have happened. But it did, and it did occur. But Mr. McCain and all these other wonderful people who act as though there is something that could have happened differently. The only thing that could have stopped Benghazi happening if there was a damn platoon of army soldiers that were already sitting there waiting. That council would have gotten overrun if there were 20 more people there, if there were 50 more people there. There would have been a higher loss of life. Secondly, and I'm a simpleton, so I like speaking to my own people. Libya is not exactly a quiet zone right now. Libya is not really run by anybody right now. You got different sections of the place that have been broken up and have been run by militias, people who are armed to the teeth or who are frustrated about varying things, and it's just quick to blame America. Now,
America is to blame.
And there you go. And now the council got hit, the ambassador got killed. There have been varying different stories coming out of there about who applied for what, how many people were on standby, this army unit was ready to go. But even though Libya is in chaos, it is still a sovereign nation. And contrary to what all you good people out there would like to believe, you can't just go putting down boots in people's country. You'll get your ass lit up and cause an international incident. You cannot just go roaming up into a damn sovereign nation unless it's a declaration of war.
Why can't we? We're the United States of America. We're here for keeping the peace of the world. We're the police chief, aren't we?
Well, we have done all the
job. That's the same thing, man. Just same thing, me coming over your house and I just start trying to run shit in your house.
So, we're doing it, though, on a higher moral ground. We have the world to protect.
But it's still the same effect. I don't care. What gives you the right to come in my house and think you can dictate anything?
Well, if your house is in a lot of chaos and that house in that neighborhood is upsetting everybody else in that neighborhood, I have the right.
Yeah, but they still feel like that's their house because you don't agree. Who are you? Who said you was God?
I am. I say so. I am the United States of America.
Because you got bigger muscles, bigger missiles than me?
You got that shit right.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why they're acting the way that they're acting, man.
Of course it is. You think it's because it's the moral high ground? Of course not. It's bullshit. It's all about hegemony. It's all about empire building. It's all about oil. It's all about geopolitical position. It's all about dividing.
What's that word? That word, I think.
Hegemony?
No, they call it power.
Ah, mm-hmm. What it is.
And that's exactly what it is. Now, you remove somebody such as Muammar Gaddafi from the equation, and you go back to what's called a tribal feudal society, a society where I ain't never liked your ass in the first place, and you ain't never liked my ass in the first place, and now that Elvis has left the building, we just going to turn on each other, and the only thing we hate more than each other is that flag flying over there beyond that their gates.
You're not talking about the Stars and Stripes, are you, Tony?
Yes, sir.
Stars and Stripes. No,
where you get this shit about turning on each other? We ain't never been together. You just thought we was.
There you go, gentlemen. There you go. Learn a little bit of things from all you thousands of people tuning into Can a Player Play, because we're not using no fancy terminology here. We're not using no big words that you don't understand. I wanted to present to you in its rawest form so that you can relate. I want you to understand that these people, like I've been telling people for years, I don't have a problem with them now, and this is apples and tomatoes, but that's how my mind rolls. I ain't never liked Al Sharpton. I put up with him now because he's become calm and he actually says some things now and then, which makes sense. But I ain't never liked Al Sharpton, who used to just be on the TV screen, Ray standing up for this, this, and that, showing up for the cameras. And John McCain and all these other people were politicizing this tragedy for whatever their agenda is, because they all got an agenda, and I don't like none of them. They're all politicians to me. And over here at the Fuck You Cans, we don't represent for nobody. but we're going to speak up on some things. Joe brought up a point last week when he was like talking about this is what this show means to me. This is what this show means to us.
I guess that makes us officially independent.
I heard hope
fuck
so.
We fucked you, Cans. You can, you know, I ain't taking that. I'm thinking, I'm seceding from that independent thought, sir. I'm a fuck you, can. That's what I am.
Well, I seem like the whole fuck you, can philosophy would be built on the principle of being independent, having independent thought, not being swayed by any party or any particular goal. I mean, isn't that the whole basis of that?
It could be, but at times I'm just being a contrarian to every damn thing that I hear. Because
I didn't want to thank you for ignorance, but okay, I got you.
Yes,
no,
there is a measure
you.
Of ignorance to me, sir. And I proudly stand in my intelligent ignorance, sir.
I didn't want to have Joe point that out to you, so, you know.
You know,
because I wasn't.
Don't tell me you was going to agree with that.
I said
no.
I wasn't. I wasn't going to say anything because there was nothing to say. You were. You wanted to get on it.
Oh,
if it wasn't me last week, it's got to be Tony this week. I hope Joy comes back so you can fuck with her next week.
Okay. Damn, man. I thought you liked me a little bit, but okay.
I do. I do.
I wouldn't even wish that on you.
You must like me a lot.
I wouldn't even wish that on you.
I think Joy needs a passport to get back to this show.
Yeah.
And I want to make this point, the good people of Texas. I have no issues with the state of Texas. I think y'all are a great, great set of people down there. Good food.
Did you say with the fair sex?
With the great state of Texas.
Oh, the great state. All right.
I you know, there's certain elements. It just so happened that this week it flew across my radar a lot. They were at some county in Texas, King County in Texas, interviewing people about certain things. And, you know, some of the people that interviewed were at certain level of ignorance.
You
coming
sound
out
far
of
away,
mind.
Tony. Diddy, does he sound far away to you?
Well, he always sounds far away to me, so I'm not a good person to ask.
So I don't think
am I coming through a little bit clearer now?
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
All right, hold on.
I think
Afro.
You are, yeah.
That wasn't kind of far away I meant, but
yeah, I
know.
You think I wanted to touch that? You want, you know, you're trying to get me in trouble.
You still trying to be? You trying to stay politically correct? Way outside.
I just know how to keep my fucking nose out of other people's business.
When did you learn how to do that?
I don't know.
Damn.
Because I sure don't keep it out of other people.
It happens around Thanksgiving or what? I mean, Halloween, what happened?
I don't know.
Now, hold on. The great state of Texas, I love you good folks down there. It just so happened that a couple of the subject matters that I'm touching on has to do with the great state of Texas this week. You know, the good old folks down there in King County as they're interviewing them, and some of these people they're interviewing, you wondering when's the last time they've been to a dentist. But they got a mouthful of crap to say. You know, but we're going to move on from that because we're not partial to anybody on this show. The next thing I want to jump on is my good friend, and for full disclosure, I want to say that I am a huge fan of Cornel West. Going back to something that Joe said about me last week about some of the things that have helped me change as a person, reading Cornel's West book, and listening to him on numerous occasions, and the passion which he speaks with was one of many motivating factors that helped to mold the man that comes across in these internet airwaves every Sunday on Can a Player Play. So I am a huge fan of Professor Cornel West. He came out early this week, and he basically called, let me quote it, President Obama, a black mascot of the Wall Street ugly art and black puppet of the corporate plutocrats. He is nothing but a Rockefeller Republican, a black man groomed by the white man who suffers from deracination. And I was like, wow, Professor West, he dressed down Mr. Obama, and he did bring up a good point, though. And this is a question that I've been asking, if you go back to a few shows back, where I kept asking, where's the creditors' jail? He brought up a good point when he said, years ago when the SNL scandal broke out on Wall Street, when all was said and done, 3,500 people went to jail. So far, with the biggest economic meltdown in world history, the batting average ain't even out the dozens yet. I don't even think it's cracked. 2 dozen people who have been held accountable for the atrocity, and it was an atrocity, that was perpetrated upon the economy of this blasted country. There are some who will say there were puppeteers behind it. There are people who orchestrated it, and if you do examine something, you tend to agree. Believe whatever you want to. We only bring you to the water on this show. It's up to you to drink. Figure out who the economic powerhouses who have tremendously benefited off the economic collapse of our economy, and not only our economy, the world economy, because that is what is happening in the United Nations right now, that a lot of y'all fear. Anarchy is breaking out in their countries, because if you think if shit is rough over here, you better get to go addressing some shit that's going on in Spain and Greece and all these other wonderful places. France is now wrapped up a little bit, but not as bad as Greece and Spain right now. Let me ask my resident international man of mystery, Joe Fontana. What do you have to say about what Professor West said about the president?
I haven't heard the quote, but now that I've heard it, I have to agree with him, because Obama said during his campaign he wasn't going to have any more lobbyists. But what did he do? He hired the Clinton-Bush advisors, and the first week or so he had plenty of lobbyists going into the White House. He is, just like everybody, just like I predicted, just like other libertarians have thought of, just like every other politician, all he is, he's a milestone. He's just a black guy who is in the same boat as a white politician. That's all he is. So I agree with Cornel West. People thought that there would be some real substantive change because this black guy got into office. Has there been any real change for the people? No. Is there going to be any real change? No. Cornel West, I know who he is, and, you know, to me he's okay. But for that, yeah, I mean, he's always a Democrat, just like his, he's got a partner, Tavis Smiley. Democratic, you know. They think capitalism is okay, but, you know, pseudo-socialism is better. But since he found out that his milestone, his white politician in blackface, didn't do shit, he woke up to it. And things are going to get worse.
Mark our words.
You think it's going to get worse before it get better, huh?
He's lame duck. He has nothing to lose. His first administration, his goal was to get reelected. Now that he's reelected, he can't be reelected anymore unless he's going to pull a Bloomberg, so he can do anything he wants, because it's not going to affect his reelection.
Right.
And what he wants to do is to break up America. He is not for capitalism. He is for socialism. He is for distribution of the wealth, which he has said more than several times. So where's he going to get the wealth from? He's going to get the wealth from people who work 10, 12 hours a day to build up little chains of delicatessens. He's going to steal from the oligarchies and the rich people who support America in order to give to the poor. But people, if they don't know governmental economics, when you steal from one group, it doesn't matter if it's from the rich to the poor or the poor to the rich, you're still creating trillions of dollars of national debt. So in other words, which liberals don't really know, is that even if you didn't have any wars and you spent all the money on housing and education and social programs, and if you didn't give any money to corporations in terms of bailouts, let's say you spent $1 trillion, $2 trillion a year, we would still be in the same bullshit we're in today, because every time the government spends money, every dollar is a dollar that they had to borrow. Then they have to pay interest on it. Then they have to take taxes from us to pay back the borrowed dollars and the interest. And when they don't take taxes from us, they have to borrow more money to pay off the prior money. That's fucking theft, Ponzi scheme. That's what Obama was doing. That's what Bush was doing. McCain would have done it. Romney would still do it. All these politicians are nothing more than treasonous, stupid bastards. And when I'm saying stupid, I'm being kind to them.
I just thought of something very simple. Even if you take the money from the rich and give it to the poor is going to turn right back around and give it to the rich.
In what, in form of theft or what?
No, anyway it goes. First of all, just because you got wealth don't mean you know how to maintain it, and you definitely didn't know how to get it. So if you didn't know how to get it, you don't know how to maintain it, and you're not going to keep it. So you're going to turn right back around and give it to the people that worked in those trenches to amass the wealth in the first place.
If it's done on a mutual basis, like consumer spending, it's okay. And I'm not saying
but it's going to come right back, because every fool that's got some money that didn't put the work in to get it don't keep it long. We all know that.
Well, then it needs to be a re-education program from within the family. We have too many single-family parents. It's not just black either. I think there are more whites now. No, there aren't. There are more black people with single-family kids than whites. But from 2010 on...
Oh, you're going to make them start reading books now, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, people got to read.
Well, that's...
You know, but the thing is...
They've been having that ability to do that for a long time, so why haven't they?
That's what I'm saying. It has to come from the family, because a lot of families depend upon the teachers and the government and the federal funds in order to get an education in school. But how long is it going to take for people to wake up and say, you know what, poor people, in particular blacks... got poor education, they don't have they have the funds, but they don't have the infrastructure in many cases. So what's going to happen? If this has been going on for 30, 40 years, what makes people think it's going to stop? People have to take the bull by the horns, educate their own kids, instill in them the value of not just getting a job, but if you can't get a job, do your own fucking business. Survive. The Chinese, the Asians, the Japanese, the Jews, other immigrants have done it. Black people can do it. The Mexicans can do it.
You're not going to see no black people out there with no fruit carts on no corner. You know, they'd rather get out of corner and put a gun in you and steal your shit.
Yeah.
But you see, this is where I interject between my libertarian friend over there and the author, you know. And when you can't just throw the term black people out there like that old Mr. K did, because there are some black people who would go get a fruit cart and try to do something.
Show me a neighborhood where I can go see two.
Show you a neighborhood where you can go see two?
Yeah, on the corner with some pineapples and watermelons and mangoes. And some
go to immigrant communities
like
in
I
New
see
York.
My Hispanic
go,
brothers.
Go to New York, go to Miami, go to states like that, and you'll see plenty of black people with fruit stands and flower stands. And yes, truthfully, and I'm going to be honest, once again, before disclosure, they might be black people of a immigrant.
I was about to say Caribbean.
Caribbean
the whole,
or
the whole
African.
Thing is that it does, not enough people have the mindset that if you can't get the job that you want, go found some little business and get some money coming in. But we're not trained to think that way. We're trained to think of corporate America or become a carpenter or become a cop, do some kind of job. So when people are unemployed, what do? They rely on unemployment insurance. Is that bad? No. But if you have a mindset, you know what? I don't want to do the little push cart, but I can open up a deli. You know, I can open up a little whatever. and it won't be much, but it'll give me, it'll keep me off the streets. It'll keep me out of food.
And I got to know this question, Joe. Hold on. Where would they get the money? Where would they get money to even go start that fruit stand, Joe? Where would they?
I did an experiment. I was on a show, okay? Because 90% of the shows on BTR are black. So there's one other show I went to, and they said the same thing. I said, why don't you guys do an experiment? So one guy said, okay. I said, contact your bank or your banks. Contact 10 banks. Let me know what happens. Because other people were saying, you know what, they're not lending to minorities. And I said, you know what? The government has given out, I didn't say it on the show because I found this out after, but I could say it, and I'm going to say it now. 35% of contracts from the United States government are given to minorities. Also, the guy did the experiment, so he says he contacted five banks, not 10. He had one bank, he said, give him a solid offer to give him a loan so that he could start a little business. That's where you get the money. You don't do it by contacting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If you got to contact 15 banks, you contact 15 banks.
There you go. I like that, Joe, because some people may have heard what you said, but they didn't let it. That's why I made sure I interjected.
Okay,
basically,
cool.
What you're saying is persevere, push through. Don't just fold up after the first two banks said no. Just keep going.
Absolutely.
Keep applying for credit. Keep getting inquiries, getting some more.
There you go.
On that negative report where you can't qualify for something else.
And it's not right. And let me tell you, if you're young, right, or if you're old, but if you're young, you don't have credit, like Diddy's talking about. Let's say you got unemployed. This happened to me. I got unemployed, 15, 20 years. I started building up my credit because I said, you know, one of these days I might have to use that credit card. So I started building up by having these cash-only credit cards, where you put in the cash and you use your own actual cash as collateral for the credit card.
Credit card.
Right, and then I've got the regular credit cards. It's not a perfect system. It doesn't take like 5 minutes. It might take a year, 2 years for that, but you can get. It takes preparation. It takes the mindset. So if the mindset is there when you're young, you know. You can do it. You got time.
All right. And you see, I don't kind of play a play. We're making sure we're giving back. That's what it's all about because, you know, last week after Joe spoke to me, his question has, like I said, I'm not going to make a show of it, but I'm going to make a show of it because I want, whether you're white, black, Latino, Asian, whatever you are, if you take a moment to listen to Can a Player Play, I want you to understand that a lot of times the voices you hear coming to you, nobody over here is sitting on no millions of dollars. We're people that have just made up our mind to try to make a difference somehow, to motivate, to inspire. That's what the whole Playology movement is about, and I say it at first, it did not start off like that, but it has grown into that. It has morphed into that. Because as I have grown, so it has grown with me. Because I've been learning. I've been learning, and I've been taking the time to learn and understand that I got to put some work in and I got to put some time in to get back the results that I'm looking for out of this life.
And here's another thing, Tony, interrupt, because you only got a few minutes left. You're an entrepreneur. Diddy's an entrepreneur. Duh, if people want to find out what to do, right here.
There you go. You got to take a shot. If you don't believe in yourself, who else is going to believe in you? You understand? And you got to start laying out the foundation despite the odds that are stacked against you. And despite all the fear and the ignorance that's out there right now just floating around, shout out to my man, Rush Limbaugh. I love you, dog. You're one of the best entertainers I know. Sean Hannity, I love you too, man. Mr. Alan West down there in Florida, let it go. Let it go, my brother. You know, you kind of went over on the dark side. The force is not with you right now. But the beauty of the political system is it'll swing back around. It'll swing back around. And despite everything that you may have heard or believe out there, the bottom line to this is we're all in this together. And that's one of the greatest messages I want to put out there because as an angry young man growing up, an angry black man, African-American man, whatever you want to call me, Afro-Caribbean, whatever it is you feel you want to call me.
And don't put me in that category with a whole bunch of ignorant people.
I'm speaking up for myself, sir. This is not your moment. This is not your moment, Arthur. That's why I always refer to you as Arthur, sir. KBD is Arthur. Joe is the international man of mystery. I want my voice to positively affect somebody else. I want somebody who talks like me, who's been through some of the things I've been through, to know that despite this moment in your life, when everything is against you, it seems like your family has turned their back on you. If you believe in God, you think God then left you alone. And everybody systematically wants to remind you of all the mistakes that you've made in this life. You still got a shot. But going back to what Joe said, it takes perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a bit of preparation. It takes a little bit of self-belief and saying, you know what, I'm going to get through this thing. Whatever this thing may be in your life right now, that's what Can a Player Play is all about.
Man, it takes common sense.
There you go.
Common sense.
As the author just said, you got to break through the politics of fear and ignorance, man. That ain't going to get none of us nowhere. None of us. As the Titanic goes, we all sailing on it, and I like to bring that point home. Now, as we get down to the last 3 minutes of the show, this is another thing I'm bringing, as I told you, the knowledge base that has helped me grow as a human being, because there was a time that every idol that I had was a hustler or somebody that was involved in other things. I didn't know that there were other men out there. Now, let me give K. Diddy his credit, because he always tried to say, I don't give a. Then I met people like him, an entrepreneur trying to do some things. It ain't been easy. As a matter of fact, me and him have gotten into heated discussions about monetary gain sometimes, and he has had to teach me that sometimes you're building the foundation to get the monetary gain, which means instant gratification and instant satisfaction ain't going to happen in this moment, but after we put the work in, then it's going to come. Did I quote you right, KD?
Yes, sir, as of any self-made millionaire or entrepreneur or successful businessman, it's always a foundation first. To build a building any other kind of way, it always collapses.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I want to put out there for my brothers, as I'm growing and I embrace y'all and I love you, whatever race, creed, or color you are, but this one is for my black brothers such as myself. Here go a tidbit of knowledge that I have grown to find out, and I'm just sharing a little bit of bits and pieces of me with you. I never knew that there was any black man that was a saint. Things like that, tidbits of knowledge like that, have been buried in the backs of history. I thought saints was white folks and stuff that I couldn't relate to from places I didn't know nothing about. But there was a black man that was a saint. They call him Saint Maurice, Saint Mauritius, Saint Moritz. They have a town in Switzerland named after him. He is the patron saint of soldiers, armies, and swordsmiths all over the world. At first, they had pictures of him painted as a white man, but he was a black man. He was a Roman legionary who did not massacre Christians out there, and then he was made into a saint. We have a basis to build ourselves on, my brothers. Don't let fear and ignorance be a deterrent from you trying. You got to try. I had to try. Joe, the international man of mystery over there, had to try. K. Diddy, the other over there, even with his sarcastic tones, what he's really trying to do is motivate you to try. Break through the ignorance, man.
And we're still trying. And we're still trying.
There you go. As always, www.worldmovement.com, the official sponsor to the show. Reach out, get a copy of the book, Who Is She and What Is She to You, or Playology on Amazon. You can talk to me all day, every day on Twitter, at Selassie Ison, S-E-L-A-S-S-I-E-S-O-N. Joe, give him your phone number, sir.
They don't deserve it.
And on that note, please join us next week as we come through here and represent for the good folks who love people. Let me take you out.
Inside, if anyone should find the diary, return it back to seven. I'm doing a good job.